It's Morning Edition from NHPR. New Hampshire environmental officials have been warning lakegoers about cyanobacteria blooms. Late summer and early fall is often prime time for these blue-green coatings to form near the water's surface. We know these blooms can be toxic, but researchers don't know exactly what's causing them or how they've been changing. NHPR's Brita Green went out recently with one team trying to figure it out.
Every morning, Midge Eliason has the same routine. She walks out her back door, down the steps, and onto her dock on Lake Sunapee.
I get a chance to look at the world and see what the lake looks like each day, which I really love. You know, this is a real treat for me.
This isn't just idle sightseeing, though today the lake is glittering and gorgeous. What Eliason's doing is science.
This is a plankton net, and I lower it down to a knot on the string.
She's been collecting samples here, rain or shine, at the same time every day for 12 years.
And I wait till the bubbles go away, and then I pull it up, as I've taught my grandchildren, slowly, slowly, slowly.
Lake Sunapee is in Eliason's bones. She's been coming here since she was a baby. She met her husband on the lake in the 50s when she was just 16. Helped him with his sailboat, she says, and that was it. Now, their grandchildren come here to play, but as the decades have gone by, Eliason's become more worried about Lake Sunapee's health.
I've been here my whole life, and the bottom of the lake when I was a kid was completely different from what it is today. We used to pick up garnets from the bottom of the lake because you could see them.
Now she says the water's murkier and a big worry. The reason she's out here sampling every morning is cyanobacteria, what looks like green particles in the water and sometimes forming a coating on the lake surface. She's not alone in her concern. All over the country, cyanobacteria are becoming an issue. Researchers have been scrambling to map out what's driving the blooms, and there's a lot we still don't know.
Even with all the data that we have, we can't predict whether a bloom will happen any better than saying the bloom tomorrow will look like the bloom today.
This is Kathleen Weathers. She's a researcher at the Carey Institute in New York, and she's been working with Eliason and the Lake Sunapee Protective Association on this issue for years.
We do know that they often bloom in August and September, and that's fairly common. We don't know whether the drivers of that bloom are a combination of warmer temperatures, ice out being sooner, and ice cover being less long than in the past.
An influx of nutrients, too, like phosphorus and nitrogen from runoff, are known to be a cause.
Hey, guys.
This morning, Weathers is actually sitting out on Midge Eliason's back deck. There's a whole team assembling to join them from Dartmouth and the University of New Hampshire. They're here as part of a big data collection effort happening this summer. The goal is to dramatically expand the amount of information they can access on how our lakes have been changing over time. First thing, Eliason heads down to her boat at the dock and two Dartmouth researchers hop in.
So we're going up to that end first, right?
They find the location they're looking for and drop anchor.
We actually hit bottom
already. Oh, we did. Okay. Yeah.
Then the researchers, postdocs Jenny Bentrup and Jessica Trout-Haney, pull out a number of different sampling tools and instruments.
Yeah, we're just using a Garmin to get a GPS reading on our sample location. The first thing we start with before the water column gets disturbed is take a Secchi. It's called a Secchi disc.
Trout-Haney drops a black and white flat disc down into the water, noting when she can no longer see it from above. They continue taking measurements, documenting things like water temperature, dissolved oxygen, conductivity, and harvesting samples to bring back to the lab. Then as they're working, they hear something approach overhead.
So this
hear it?
Oh, yeah, there it is.
It's a drone operated by their colleagues on shore. Actually, it's a drone with a $45,000 camera mounted on it. So a little nerve-wracking, they say, to fly it over the water. The camera's powerful enough to take really high-resolution images of the lake from above. And that's where the timing of what they're doing comes into play. Dave Lutz, another researcher at Dartmouth, says it has to do with something flying even higher above than that drone. Satellites.
Landsat 8. Which is a NASA-operated satellite, and Sentinel-2, which is a European Space Agency satellite, are both happen to be flying over this part of New Hampshire tomorrow, and we'll be able to see what the water looks like from both the satellites.
Lutz is jazzed because it's such a clear day. There's virtually no haze in the air. Perfect conditions for the cameras. And he's jazzed because this whole setup, multiple sets of images and simultaneous physical samples from the lake, help address a challenge they've long had trying to study cyanobacteria, a lack of data. In order to figure out how these blooms have been changing over time, they need years of information on things like what they're out measuring in the boat today. We simply don't have that kind of comprehensive comprehensive data set for most of the lakes in our region, but what we do have is satellite images. Satellites are constantly taking pictures as they fly overhead. The team here is trying to model a relationship between images taken from above and physical measurements of lake quality, which would allow them to essentially unlock information in a big trove of satellite images that already exist.
That will allow us to have a much better handle on what might be driving these blooms and where they're occurring and ultimately what we might do to be able to modify them.
That's Kathleen Weathers again. She and the team here are planning at least one more day of sampling and drone flyovers on Sunapee this fall. For NHPR News, I'm Breecha Green.